Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 752. Said it that way so it makes it seem like it's even more, makes Jeff depressed, who is here with us.
Life is flashing before our eyes.
Earl is here as well.
Yay, I am back after my own sabbatical. I've happened.
Yeah.
I think it was just one of those things, like one Thursday was my birthday, one Thursday I was down in Mexico.
We didn't record last week.
Yeah, so I think it's been like 2 months. So I was hoping to avoid talking about Cyberpunk, which I said I'm not actually paid, but.
Well, then you can probably avoid talking about it because Tony and I did talk about it. If you had played it, we would have.
Part of it on me is just, I guess it's been hectic. But yeah, what's been new?
There's stuff going on that we haven't talked about. Xbox had a price drop on Game Pass.
Holy shit. That feels like weeks. I think it was weeks ago.
We may have talked about it. That's things are blending together. Like everything is very hard to keep track of anymore.
Yeah, there was price drops, price increases.
The Switch 2 is getting a price increase in September, though, right?
Like, yeah.
They gave the heads up.
Yeah.
Well, and also, they have been very apologetic, but. You know, that's not, but I was surprised at how much, they announced that the price goes up to September 1st, but then they also introduced a new bundle that starts June 1st, which is essentially the Mario Kart bundle again, but this time you can pick between Mario Kart World, Pokemon Pokopia, and Donkey Kong Bonanza. So that is a fun little.
How much is that bundle? Is that
it's the 500 bundle?
Okay, so
that's cool though. Get options, yeah. I like that. I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah. So like, there's been like rumblings of things, but nothing like major news wise. I don't think. It seems like GTA 6 pre-orders are going to go live soon. If anybody cares about that.
I don't get why that's a big deal.
No,
I'll like, just download the games now, right, guys? Like, who cares?
Yeah, I think there was recently some. I don't know if it's Circana, or one of the other like analyst groups. I think they said like it's up to like 82% or something like that. People buying digitally.
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
I mean, that was the other thing, because a lot of fiscal year reports came out, and like I think Capcom said something like 93 or 94% of their sales are now digital games.
Are on digital games or not?
Are digital games.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That's,
games are on sale for like $6 every fucking
Yeah, sale. I mean, I think that's also the counterpoint. It's like digital 10 cents. Have a lot more insane sale.
Whatever satisfies the fucking stockholders.
Yeah. Tony has just walked in the room.
Yo.
Well, I have arrived.
Here, Tony. I'm handing you your drink.
I got my drink. It's a black IPA called Power Boots.
I don't think
it has a picture of the Powerpuff Girls on the front.
What makes it a black IPA? I don't like IPAs, so I don't really know. Like,
so,
I know triple IPA or what, 90 minute IPA. I don't even know what those things mean. what is a black IPA?
So you've had stouts though before, right?
Yes.
So when they make stouts, they toast the malt, which is what makes it black.
Mm-hmm.
A black IPA is also made with toasted malts, but it has the hopping that an IPA would have.
Got it. So
it's kind of it's like a combo flavor. I really like black IPAs. They're super hard to find. You don't see them very often. They kind of like,
yeah,
they're a mid tier between a stout and an IPA.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like that. I want to try it.
Yeah, no, they're delicious. And like they're so rare that only really good breweries make them. So they're always really good. Yeah, so whenever I see one, I buy it almost automatically.
I don't think I've ever heard of it before.
Yeah.
It used to be like, gosh, I want to go back to like 2012. It was like the it style. But it's not anymore. Obviously. Yo.
Yeah, so everybody buys their games digitally. When was the last time you guys bought a physical game?
Literally, like for me, like literally 10 years ago, probably.
I mean, I got my son Metroid Prime 4. That was a physical copy.
I know it's Black Friday.
Yeah, I think when I was buying a game for myself, Black Friday was the last time.
Okay.
I got Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 is a physical copy. Yeah, because I could get it for like, I think it ended up being like $12.
Yeah, I mean, I used to buy like Switch games physically, but I'm not doing that anymore.
So
the last game I actually played to like any significant amount that was a physical copy was Red Dead Redemption 2 when I was playing it this year, okay. Last year.
Yeah, you talked about it recently. So
yeah,
I could picture myself buying a physical copy of a game on the Switch 2 if it was like too big of a download, like maybe that.
But
Final Fantasy.
The side of that is a lot of those are now like game cards, so you still have to end up.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, a lot of them are, but like if it was like, hey, the Final Fantasy Rebirth or whatever is on the card and you don't have to download it, then I can see myself doing it. Other than that, I just buy everything digital.
Do they play games off the card though? Okay, so they do, like, you know, you pop it in and it plays off the card. It's not downloading or not installing to the hard drive.
Yeah, I think for the most part, right?
I don't know.
I'm our Switch 2 correspondent, and I don't know. But I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I don't have any physical Switch 2 games, so I
me
don't
either,
know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Capcom, what would you say, Earl, 93% or something like that?
93%. Yeah, and I'm sure that they're not the OU ones. But yeah, that means, again, just because a lot of the annual reports, that's the fiscal year shareholder reports came out. So yeah, that's a big one. But I am kind of curious to buy more physical games, but I don't know why. Because again, like, I mean, we're talking about what we're playing. DMC, Devil May Cry, it's currently like $5 on Xbox. And you probably can't find it in stores anymore. That's the other thing. Online also has a backlog that you can get that doesn't always happen in stores.
Yes. Especially since GameStop is not a useful resource for picking up used games anymore. You have to have like a... Yeah.
No, Best Buy doesn't do games anymore. No.
Do they not do games?
No, they don't do movies anymore. But yeah, the Walmart, I guess. What else is there?
Like, if you're looking for like used games, you have to find like an independent game store at this point, because no one's gonna have anything.
Or just straight up like eBay or.
Yeah, eBay is good. Prices there are wild though. Like sometimes they're like way overpriced. Sometimes you find something good.
Yeah, and then the condition varies. These are games, they return it.
Yeah, it's like, this is bad. Like you buy something from eBay, they're like, well, that's what we told you. That's what it was.
Yeah. Or I got lost in the mail, and it's like, yeah, you never sent any, whatever. But yeah,
I don't know why I wanted it, but I wanted a copy of Tony Hawk 5, which was the one that came out. Was that the Xbox One, Jeff?
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like it's not a good game, but I was like, I kind of want to play this.
In my opinion, it's not as bad as people made out to be, but
it's not great, but it's like
it's not as bad. Like people made out like it's the worst thing ever. I was like, it's fine. It's like okay. Like
yeah, like it's a noticeable step down from most of the games, but it's fine. It's serviceable, and that's why I was like, I kind of want this because I've already played through, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I had already started it back when it came out. I'd rented it from Redbox. That's not a thing anymore, right? Like you can't go to Redbox and rent games anymore. So I bought it. I think I got it for like $7 on eBay, and it just won't play. Like the disc is scratched or something. It won't read. It's like there's no going back and like trying to fight with that seller over something that was $7, like it's kind of like useless. So, but yeah, I don't think there was not much that caught my eye news wise. Forza Horizon 6 reviews dropped today. Seems like it's going to be a good one.
When could we play that?
May 19th.
I mean, I think you can pay today if you do early access, or is that tomorrow?
Like you have to pay.
You can pay extra money instead of playing it for free, like I'm going to.
Yeah, if you pay to get the, because you can upgrade the Game Pass version to the premium version or whatever it is, but I think it's like $40. So if like you really wanted to pay 4 days early for $40, you could do
like
it.
Is there some other benefit to getting the premium edition other than
I think you get the expansions that they're going to release, so like you'll get like if they do like a Lego expansion or
so the expansions that come out so late that I'm already done with the game
probably
I don't really want to play anymore. Okay,
all right, so like if you are paying for the ultimate premium version, like when does that come out?
I think it's the 15th, 4 days early.
So like tonight?
Probably tonight. Like you might if you like changed your clock to New Zealand or something, you could probably play it now. let's see. Forza Horizon 6. Why?
Well, for us playing just on Game Pass, it comes out when?
The 19th.
Tuesday. Yeah.
Yep. So you get
a 3 week. You get a weekend for $30.
Dude, I'm off this whole weekend. Oh no. Oh no.
So the premium edition comes with the early access. Play 4 days early starting May 15th. Premium expansions. It comes with the Italian Passion Car Pack, but that's also coming later. The Time Attack Car Pack, the Car Pass, which is 30 cars delivered one per week. VIP membership, I'm not sure what that is. And the Welcome Pack. And also the upgrade is $60 this time, not $40. It was $40 for 5. So that makes it like basically you're buying the game at that point. Like,
so basically the question is, Jeff, do you hate money?
It's like you could just wait till Tuesday. He does hate money.
Yes. Actually,
yes. I feel like there's plenty of games out there though that you could play this weekend.
And I'm very like entertained by what I'm playing, but like man, it's just
I'm excited.
You can play New Forza. Come on, you know.
I am all in. I will play this game. I'm very excited for it. I love the fact that I don't have to pay any money to play it and would prefer.
But you're saying with that $40 upgrade, you're getting extra shit too.
$60
upgrade. It's a $60 upgrade.
And you're not getting extra things. You're buying the expansions.
Yeah, you're buying the two expansions and the car pass, and some extra. So you are getting like some extra cars that you don't get with the game, but okay.
Jeff is doing it. He's going to do it right now. He's probably going to do it while we're on the podcast.
Yeah, we're.
Have you done it already, Jeff? Are you entering numbers into your phone right now to buy this?
I will probably get the premium upgrade at some point when it goes on sale, because I'll play the expansions, but
yeah,
$60 is I don't need to play 4 days early. Like, right. I've got other stuff to play. So that's out there. Reviews are very good for it, though.
I was gonna say that's what I'm happy for, because it's one of my fantasy picks. And I've had a few picks recently that start off in the 90s and drop to the 80s. It's still very good reviews, but it's just one of those things where over 90 gets me a point and a half versus 1 point. So
yeah,
it needs to stay above, like a mixtape started at 93, 94, and I think it's down to like 88.
87 as of right now. That's not bad, right? You get 17 points from that.
Yeah, but I had like 26 or something when it was like 94. I'm still projected to win, but you know.
Speaking of, I have not checked in on my. I haven't picked up any games. I haven't done anything.
I am so fascinated by because my friend, like, who I'm in the league with, just picked up. Like, he's filled up except for one. I'm like, I'm gonna wait until he's June for the showcases, so that I know if there's anything worth picking up, or so I don't miss out on anything.
I did not get Forza Horizon 6. I don't think in either of my leagues. But anyway, I do have it in. I have it in my one league, so that should give me some points.
Nice.
I haven't picked up. I have four open slots still in that league. So,
yeah, I got like four. The only thing is that we did it. Well, we, as in me, because you have to pick certain things, and I still don't really have anything for my expansion, because those are harder to find.
Like the Diablo expansion.
Yeah. Tony already took the Diablo one.
You should pick up S Tony for one of his Europa Universalists.
Do those get enough reviews?
No, that's the problem with them. It's like they're consistent that they come out, but I don't think people on Open Critic review them.
Yeah, that's and then what counts and what doesn't count.
But speaking of mixtape, why don't we talk about some games we've been playing, because that's one that Jeff played and I played. I don't know if either of you played it, Earl, Tony, but it is the hot topic on the internet right now.
Yeah, for better or worse.
Yeah. there's a giant divide. Either you love it or you hate it, and you're not allowed to have an in-between opinion on it, I think. Which is, I think, where Jeff and I ended up with the game.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I've soured on it. I've soured on it. Oh, no. Like, my initial reaction to it was not super positive to begin with.
Yeah,
but I did not feel comfortable being lumped in with the gamers.
Fair.
You know what I'm saying? Like, as my objection was not some of the things. Oh, it's woke or whatever the fuck that means.
It's pretentious.
Like
get up its own ass.
I didn't hate it. Like, I didn't hate it. And like at the end of the game, like I was moved by it. Like I was like, you know, it's like kind of an irresistible coming of age teenage formula, right?
Like, yeah.
But like nothing in that game did anything like that I had not seen in a movie done better.
Fair.
And I was just like bored playing it. I was just bored. Like, I honestly, dude, like, I'm not gonna do the same criticism that like a lot of people do, like, oh, the game plays itself.
That's such a bullshit thing to say too, because if you were like, oh, you don't have to touch the controller, well then your person's just gonna stand there when you get to like the exploratory section.
Yeah, there's parts where you have to play. Yeah.
You have to walk around the room and press a button.
But I do get what people are saying though. It's like where it's just like it just feels so thin as a game. And so then all you're left with is the narrative, and like it's fine. Like the narrative, like,
yeah, it's
cute. I have nothing wrong with it, but like I just feel like I've seen it better, like done better before in a movie, and I was just so terribly bored by playing the game. I did do it in one sitting though. I did like the recommended way. Like I woke up that day, and I had the day off. I saw these like 10 out of 10 reviews, and I remember like really like the trailer sold me on that game. I was like, you know, interested. So I was like, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
And
explain to people what you mean by fuck it though, Jeff.
Oh, well, yeah, I did make a mistake. So I looked up what platforms it's on. I saw, oh shit, it's on Switch. And you know,
you bought it, didn't you? Oh.
Yes, I bought it. And it was on sale. So she was like, it's $17.99 instead of $20, whatever.
Oh no.
I was like, hell yeah. And then I like logged on the Xbox for some reason and I saw it right there for free. I was like, God damn it. And I played the game, you know, I played the whole game on Xbox. And I was like, when I was done, I was like, I will never, ever play this game again. And I deleted them off both. So I just like threw, hey, I gave the developers, you know.
You supported them.
Contribution, yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm sitting here reading about this game. If it were a physical copy, because we were talking about physical copies, I think I would eat it before I played it.
It's.
I don't think it would be tasty. No, don't eat it.
Yeah, it's not like a Tony game.
Neither of you guys have tried this, Earl. You haven't tried this?
No, not yet. Again, it's also, I mean, it's on Game Pass. I will check it out. It's like what, 5 minutes long?
It's 4 hours. I mean, based on what some of the commentary is, yes, it's 5 minutes long. But
for 5 minutes. The gameplay is 5 minutes, but there are 3 hours and 55 minutes of cutscenes.
There are sequences that it's all set to a soundtrack, which Jeff and I have talked about this. Like, I don't know what this person, like, this isn't music that I listened to in the 90s.
No, that's not the weird. This is a 90s nostalgia piece, and the songs. There are songs from like 1960. Like, it's like, what the fuck? Like,
which to a degree,
some of the songs are from the 90s.
Yeah,
and the older songs that they pick, like some of them I knew. Like, have you seen her? Tell me, have you? I know that song. I knew that song in the 90s, but 90% of it, I was not listening to any of the shit in the 90s. Like, it is like. It feels like a nostalgic piece done by someone who didn't live in the 90s with the music.
Yeah, that's, to me. That's the complaint I heard is, especially a lot of the criticisms I heard are from POCs, where it is a very like white Pacific Northwest type of experience.
Right, so like I'm East Coast, Jeff's like Midwest. Like maybe it's just completely different over there. But I think you would have had, like, I mean, at the time that there's no specific time of when this game is set. It's not like, hey, this is 1999, 1993, whatever. But in the Pacific Northwest, like grunge was having a big blow up at the time in Seattle. There's like maybe one, like there's a Smashing Pumpkins song.
Which is not even a song that, like, I don't think anyone liked.
No, it's like,
it's a song they could afford to license for the game.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I said to Chris, I was like, this game feels like it was compromised by, like, their budget. Like, I just don't understand the song selections.
I have been to parties where the main character here, Rockford, she's the one that's curating the mixtape, the playlist.
And she's like a snob. Like,
yeah, she is so up her own ass and thinks she knows everything about music. I have been to places like where this person exists. They're insufferable, which I also find her, the main character, kind of insufferable. But yeah, it's like I did not resonate with the music. It didn't hit for me at all.
It was weird for me because, like, there are songs on the soundtrack that I really like, but like that was not what we were listening to in the 90s. Like, you know what I mean? It should be like No Doubt, Bush, Nirvana, fucking whatever. Like, and it was like this like random song from 1969. What? Like,
it's like I like where some of the music takes place. Like the opening song is like a Devo song. Like,
And
it's fun. Like,
Devo's
it's a fun
awesome,
opening.
But it's just that was not like
I wasn't listening
Devo?
To Devo in high school. No.
Yeah. It's like a revisionist. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you like in the 90s, yours is just all like the grunge and alternative and the fucking hip hop shit. Like, you know, like,
you know what it reminds, and I like this movie, but it reminds me a bit of 500 Days of Summer.
That
like
makes sense.
Where it's a bit up its own ass. Like, it thinks it's better than everybody else, and it's like, like, it's fine. Like, there are moments where I'm like, this is cool, and then there are moments where I'm like, hey, I just wish they would shut up. Like, I wish they would just find the beer and move on with their day.
Well, and that is the thing of the movie. Like, to me, I compare it to Days of Confused because it's the same plot. It's like, how are we going to get alcohol for tonight and have this party? And then the party gets moved. It's literally Days of Confused. And I'm like, I would so rather watch Days of Confused than play this game ever again. I don't know, man. Like,
I mean, there's so many. Like, there's Days of Confused. It's like, there's elements of, like, Superbad in this. Like,
they do the whole Ferris Bueller sequence where they're like, she's running through people's like yards and houses and stuff.
And I don't know, I saw a bunch of people angry about like that stuff. Like I saw there's like a 3-minute clip of like somebody doing that, and they're like, this is my biggest problem because you don't even need to press the button. It's like, yeah, but if you press the button, the shit she does is cool. Like, she's like jumping over, she's jumping over fences or like sliding under tables instead of like running into them and knocking everything over. Like, there's no fail state for it.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Like, you can, if you do it well, it looks cool. If you do it shitty, it looks shitty. Like, it looks like she's a spaz. And so, like, that's the reward there. It's like, I mean, look, hey, people don't like it. That's cool. Like, I didn't love it. I thought it was fine. But I think some of the uproar around it has been absolutely absurd.
Well, it's like, I think I told you, Chris, I'm like, I hate being on the side of the gamers.
Yes.
Like, fucking... Because, like, I didn't hate it. Like, I was moved. I was moved by the end of it. Like, there's a part at the end that I thought was, like, a gameplay mechanic that it felt, like, emotional. Like, where it was, like, you have to let go.
Yeah.
I was like, that was really cool. But, like,
and a good piece of writing there too, where he's like, I don't know what to say, and she's just like, say you'll see me tomorrow, like you always do. And like that she's going off to New York like in like three hours.
So like there I didn't hate the game, but I was just like, this is just not my type of game, and I hate that I accidentally bought it on the Switch before seeing it was free on Game Pass. But
that is, I would be angry if I
because I will never play this again. It's a narrative experience. It's okay. It's an experience. Like, it's not my type of game, but.
And I like these types of games, and like, it's not something I'll ever go back and play all the way through. Like, it's just not that compelling.
But... not my cup of tea.
Sure.
As Spike Lee once said.
I don't think it's going to come up on our Game of the Year episode, so.
You never know. Maybe I'll pay it enough.
Maybe.
Sure. I'm totally going to play this. I'm all in.
It's gonna be Tony's homework for Game of the Year.
It's a short game.
It's like Earl playing Cyberpunk. It's the same thing.
It will happen maybe someday.
Exactly the same thing. Exactly the same.
All right. So that's mixtape. Earl, you have been gone the longest. What have you played?
You know, I don't play video games. What have I played recently? I've been kind of going back to some older titles. I've had an itch for an RPG because I've been watching a friend play do Kingdom Hearts 1. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to do Kingdom Hearts 1, but I'm like, you know, I have a library of games that I buy, don't pay, so I should check it out. So I have actually started Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Okay.
And I think part of it was after we did Path of Radiance.
Yep.
I was like, oh, you know what? I think I might not hate. I played Awakening and stuff like that, and I enjoyed it. But I was like, Awakening was a newer one, and that had certain things with it. But like going back to the old one and actually enjoying it too was eye opening to me. So this isn't the newest one. This is. So I think it's the one that's probably most on the Switch. It's the one that's most psyched. So I don't think I hear as much about Engage.
Three Houses is the one everybody kind of raves about the story.
Yeah,
yeah.
But so I've been playing that, and the one thing I don't think people tell you about is there is a lot of running around the monastery. As you run back and forth to talk to people, to fish, to garden, to have them, make them tea, have tea dates and all this other stuff, which I don't hate, but it's just very funny because like, nobody mentioned all of this to me. But the actual
question for you on that, Earl, is that an expansion on like what we did in Path of Radiance, which was all like menu based, like
yes. So
your conversations were all menu based, but now you have to kind of wander around a monastery to go talk to people.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Okay.
I think this is what turned me off about the game. It stopped me from playing it.
Like it's not
like you spend so much time walking around, you never actually get to play the game.
That was the thing. I'm like 7 or 8 hours in. And I probably most of the maps I've done so far have been me just like you can. One of the things you could do is you could do like trial runs, like XP maps essentially. So most of it has been me doing these XP maps so that I could get some type of experience going. There's not a lot because. Have any of you played it?
I have not.
I started it. Like, Tony quit again, it. I spent a lot of time like running around and not actually playing the
Okay, because like
the host game setup, I was here to play.
The host setup is like off. It's a monthly calendar, and at the end of the month is like the big battle. You could do the battle earlier. The big battle. So there's days when, so during the week most of the calendar so far just kind of flies through, but occasionally it will stop for you to like, you could teach, you could give seminars, you could train your people, and then there's the ones where it's like, I'm going to explore the monastery, and that's when you run around and try to get get whatever you can get experience, get the character, build up the relationship, find the item and stuff like that. And then so you end up in this weird kind of even flow where you are not playing the game too much. You are every so often engaging with it, I guess is the best term. But you don't actually get to do a lot during that. Again, you get to do a lot. To Tony's point, it's not the strategy RPG. And I don't mind it because, the big thing about this game is like the quote-unquote three houses. You pick one of the three, but you're all in the same monastery, so you'll run around and you'll see other characters, and some of them will be like, oh, you want to recruit me, but in order to recruit me, you need to butter me up, essentially. You need to, what is it you offer? So like, you need to get a certain skill, like you have to get your charisma up, you have to get your strength up, you have to get dexterity up. You could borrow one of them for a mission for a month or so, and they will come with you for anything. But they get no XP, which is also very weird, because it's like, oh, why can't I borrow you, get some XP with you, and then if you join my team, you'll be in a level that's comparable to my team. So, but again, the core combat is fun. I think just doing the thing where you buddy up with people and you get, like that builds up the dynamic with you. The thing where you, I like that, the gambit arts now, which are, you get these special abilities where you can kind of have, I will say, I like the background of the battles, because the background of the battles right now are like just, it's like a war that there's random people fighting in the background, and that's really fun. And then you got battalions, which you can call in, and they will fight alongside you. It's like a special move. You also get combat arts, which are character-specific or class-specific special moves that do more damage, but they wear through your item faster. So it's like a risk-reward. Like, okay, I need to like kill something quick, but this really has a chance of like busting up my my hands or my sword or whatever. And I do like that balance. I do like trying to figure out all that stuff. So again, fundamentally, I think the game's still fun, but there's so much downtime. And it's not like you're not doing anything. It's just like, this isn't what I wanted to come here for.
Yep.
You wanted to do the grid-based.
Yeah, because I do. I like the improvements to that, too. I like that you have a button where it's like, it will show you where any enemy will attack you. And stuff like that. So there are some good things here. And again, I will continue playing it. I'm having a ton of fun with it. But it's just, I was just like, nobody told me how much you would just run around waiting for stuff to happen.
And there's supposed to be a new one coming.
Yeah, Fortune Weave.
Okay.
And that, I think that's announced for this year, but it has no date yet. And then, like I mentioned earlier, I saw it on the Switch, but I did not end up. Is that, I guess I forgot there was a TV show, but Devil May Cry is on sale for like $5. Like each one's $5 on the Switch. But then I saw like you could get one, two, and three for like $5 on the Xbox. And I have never, ever actually played a Devil May Cry game. So I was like, $5 is worth a try. I've heard nothing but good things about it. So I started tonight, I've only played like the first, I'm up to like the first boss, which is a giant fire scorpion.
Mm-hmm. You're playing the original?
Yeah. And my first thought was, Capcom really loves like cheesy 80s B movies, don't they? And it's not an insult, but I'm like, oh, this is so like, it's him just sitting there and he has the biggest, cockiest attitude.
Yeah.
And Trish comes in and she stabs him with a sword and he doesn't flinch. And then it's like, okay, we're on a mission now. The one thing I will say early on, I assume it improves as you go along. The combat is not what I expected it to be. So far, it's just me like button mashing a bunch of sword attacks. I assume it improves with time. Like you get more of a
I think you get orbs or something, and like you'll upgrade, and you'll be able to unlock new combos and
okay,
and like to expand on that. So you're not just like, I mean, it's a lot of still button mashing, but if you know how to like pull off combos, like you'll be able to do that as you progress.
Okay. That's what I've heard nothing but amazing things about this. Like everybody was like, cause I played Bayonetta and I enjoyed Bayonetta. Like this is the I'm like, oh, you can't even dodge in this game.
Yeah. Like it's kind of like the prototype for all those games that came after it. It originally started out as like a Resident Evil game.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting that you're going to that. I think the original holds up fine. Two is bad. Two's a bad game.
That's what I was, because I asked people, like, do one, and then actually do the version of three on the Switch, because I get the Switch version has, like, the ability to, like, change weapons on the fly, or something like that. I forget what people were saying. But yes. But I was like, $5 for all three of them. If I don't like it, I pay $5. If I do, I could still skip two.
Yeah, $5 for three games. You can't really go wrong there.
Yeah. Again, my Capcom has like an 80%, 95% digital ratio. So.
All right. Tony, you play anything for the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I've been playing a game called Hearts of Iron, which is not a JRPG. Romance.
It's a strategy war game.
It's a hardcore strategy war game about World War II.
Not a romance.
No. Well, I mean, it depends on how you feel about that relationship between Mussolini and Hitler. Like,
could be a romance.
I've been like, it's like the one Paradox game that I haven't really played a whole lot of. Because it is really hard and it's hard to learn. But I was sitting around reading lots of World War II history in my spare time, mm-hmm. and decided that I would finally give this a go. So I've been playing the game as Italy, you know, World War II powerhouse Italy. The game starts there are two start dates. You can either start in 1936 or 1939, right before Poland gets invaded.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to learn the game. So Italy is kind of like, if you start in 1936, Italy is invading Ethiopia, which is kind of like beginner's war. Italy sucks. Ethiopia sucks. So you're just kind of moving troops around trying to figure out how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, I think I had played before I started this. I had tried to play this game a couple of times and not really successfully. Now I'm kind of getting addicted to it. There's a lot in the game to do. There's lots of fun stuff that really has nothing to do with like actually using troops in battle. Like you get to do things like design your divisions that would fight in the battle and like build your country's infrastructure and like production to build like tanks and planes. And you get to actually design the tanks and the planes that you use in the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And since you start in 1936, I haven't even started like the campaign I've been playing through. Germany just conquered Poland, so I'm like not even in the war yet. So I've been playing the game for about 20 hours, and I've gotten through like 4 years of like not war. And I spent this entire time like building up Italy's production and like constructing an army from scratch. But the game does a really good job of like giving you things to do to make that seem less tedious.
Mm-hmm.
Like like Mussolini is always like, because you're not playing as Mussolini, you're playing as like, what is Paradox? Paradox always says you're like the spirit of your nation. So like Mussolini's assigning you tasks like, build these planes, or one of the things I just finished was annex Albania. So I was able to like, using political threats and not actually using my army, take over Albania. And it's just kind of like cool to like, you're out there accomplishing like more RPG-ish missions as opposed to like guiding your army. And guiding the army is cool. You don't actually have to like order your troops around, because you're like managing like, you know, dozens of divisions and whatever in this huge battle line when you're actually fighting. But you don't do that. You take all the divisions, you assign them to like an army or an army group, and then you like draw your battle plan onto the map, and then the game takes over and like executes your battle plan for you.
That's kind of cool.
It's really cool to watch. I did it once as Germany invading Poland, and you just like, you drop a couple real things real quick, and then you just hit go. And if you're really like lazy, you'd set the time super fast, and you just watch your troops conquer Poland for you. Quite amusing. I'm trying to actually like, I didn't do that when I was fighting Ethiopia. Like I was trying to like figure out how the combat actually works, and like,
yeah,
how do I encircle troops and move guys around the map? Although, you know, as an opponent, Ethiopia, which has a very small army and no air force and no navy, they're not like,
it's not a huge challenge.
It's not really a fair fight. So right now, as I, you know, build up my forces in preparation for World War II, I'm planning to fight the British in Egypt. And so like I've been designing like tank divisions and like trying to build up like close air support. And like you can set, I've already drawn my battle plan. It's been going for like a year now. And all I need to do is go to war and hit the button, and my troops are gonna do it, and we'll see what happens.
We'll see
if I've wasted the last 20 hours of my life.
All you gotta do is hit the button and go to war.
I gotta hit the button and see if my hit the hopefully win button. It might be the lose button. We'll find out.
Well, if you lose, just tell everybody you won.
Run it back and try it again.
That's a very American thing to do.
Right, we won.
Yeah, but I'm playing as Italy. They like accept the fact that they are, you know, maybe not the best.
Oh, Tony's actually role playing as the country that did it.
You have to remember, Italy in the actual war did exactly what I'm doing. Like they took Ethiopia, they took them down. It was great. They set up this awesome battle plan to fight the British in Africa, and they got their asses handed to them.
Like we can pick on the small fish, but bigger fish come in, we don't know what we're doing.
Yes, so we'll see if I have done better than they did historically.
How are you making out in Cyberpunk?
I am much farther along in Cyberpunk now. I finished the quest line where you track down all the Delmains. Mm-hmm. I like that one. That one, like after I did the first couple, I'm like, I think I'm just gonna do all of these.
Yeah.
And it takes you to parts of the city you haven't been to yet, which is sort of random, because you'll get like someone will call you on the phone and be like, I have no idea who this person is, but hey, they just offered me a new quest.
Yeah.
It's great. That part I don't like. It's so strange. How they're just like throwing quest after quest after quest at you, and like you haven't even interacted with any of these characters yet.
Yeah, like they just get your number somehow, and like her V, that's the character, right? V's phone number is It's just everywhere. Somebody just is writing it on walls. And...
Right. It's like it's maybe heard this number in the bathroom that everybody writes on the wall. It's like, yeah. Call V for a good time, and that's what it is. I mean, V's in the neighborhood. I have an alert set up. Let's give her a call.
Give her a call. She can go murder some people for us or yeah. steal something or
the missions
something.
Are like even the random missions are kind of fun though. I like walk around. I do like the hacking of the other people more than the actual combat though. It is kind of fun to like you know watch them explode. Like you peek out and like do the hack and then come back and watch them die without actually having to shoot at them.
Jeff, did you do the quest that it's like a public execution by crucifixion? Did you get that quest?
What?
There is like a reality TV thing where this guy who's on death row, he signed with a production company and they're going to execute him by crucifixion on television or whatever that whatever like the it's not television, it's like the virtual
I don't know what quest this is, but tell me more.
What game are we talking about?
Cyberpunk. I was wondering if you got that quest. Dude,
I spent so long.
Okay. Well, that was one that's sticking in my head because
I could imagine, but yeah.
Tony, be on the lookout for that one.
I want that one now. Let me find that one.
Yeah. You're gonna get like somebody is gonna be like, hey, I need you to pick me up, and so it's like gonna seem like you're driving this guy to a hit, and it goes south, and then you end up linking up with this production crew. As this guy who is on death row, or he's been you know convicted of murdering people, and he's going to be executed on this virtual reality thing. It gets wild. I think some of the side quests are really good, but. So that's Cyberpunk. Tony, anything else?
Not really.
Earl, did you get to play any Vampire Crawlers?
No, not yet.
You motherfucker.
Because all my subscriptions are dead right now, so I need to like actually figure out my financial situation to be like, I gotta figure out what I want to subscribe to for Game Pass.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it makes sense. And there's like
$17. It's only
$23 now. Yeah, for Ultimate. Yep. But you can also get if you want to subscribe to Discord Nitro, you can get Game Pass. I guess that way too. Huh? I guess that was announced the other day. I forgot about that one. Well, Vampire Crawlers, Jeff. You finished it.
Yeah.
I am at Gallo Tower. I just unlocked Mini Bridge. Am I near the end?
Once you beat the Mini Bridge, there's like a two level like cap. Can't remember the name of the shit, but like it's like a two level castle.
Okay,
and that's it. So like after Mini Bridge, it's the last level, basically.
Okay, so I'm like right there. Which makes sense because I only have like 25 achievements or something left out of the 160. So I have 137 of 161 right now. So
nice.
I'm almost there. I'm enjoying it. I do think I think the first few levels are like once you understand what you're doing, they're a little bit. They're very easy. I think they're designed to be very easy. And as you progress and the difficulty gets harder, it is a matter of like the strategy isn't necessarily in the deck itself. Like it's which cards are you going to pick up when you level up? How do you like how are you linking them together? Because you definitely want to
be building your
combos. the evolutions. You want to be able to evolve them so that like you can get 3 and 4 cards. You also want to be like mindful of your mana. So like you're just like Vampire Survivors, like you're unlocking like other things that give you buffs or take stuff away as well. But I've been mostly rocking with one that allows me to carry extra mana over from turn to turn.
Yeah.
So that one's helped me quite a bit. Because otherwise, like 4 or 5 mana isn't really a whole lot to work with.
I was using the mana one, and then I switched to armor.
You carry the armor
the over. Arcana, you know, like the Arcana tech,
yep,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I switched to I could carry over my armor, and dude.
Yeah, I could see that helping too, because like I'm getting. Like even regular enemies in,
but I use my like my character that like my main character uses like magic, so like I'm always getting magic boosts anyways. But
okay,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's like I'm in Gallo Tower, and like they're like, even regular enemies are just rocking me for like 15 health at a time. And I think like I have all the heart, like all the regen maxed. So like I get like 3 after every battle. But if you've been knocked down from like 80 to 35, like getting 3 health is nice, but you're still below 50%. Yeah. So I was struggling a little bit with that today. But
have you maxed out your crawlers that could come with you?
I can now because I think I have like 15,000 gold.
Yeah,
because like I think like the
crawlers,
Yeah. Well, that builds your base deck too. Like
it
allows you to start with extra
whatever extra starting deck. Weapon is. Yeah.
Yep. So you get like you know if you're going with Giovanni, he has the knife. If you go with the panda guy, he has the cherry bombs. You go with the mage, like he has the wand. So like, yeah, you'll start with all those cards in your deck.
Way wider base.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just like linking them all together to find out how to kind of progress through the levels and win. But it seems like I'm almost there. So
yeah, you're close. Dude, game of the year.
I really like
it. Sorry, Tony. Wrong.
Boredom of the year.
I will. I don't know if like once I finish it, if I'll like keep playing until like they release some new stuff.
Every new thing they release, I'm in though.
Yeah,
for sure. Well,
I mean, the game is what it's $10 base level. Like just to buy in, it's $10, and then like if they stick to the same kind of handling as Vampire Survivors, like their expansions are going to be like $2-3
for like awesome ass shit, like licensed yep. shit. Yeah,
all new characters, all new weapons, all new like areas to kind of play through. Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's good stuff. So yeah, Earl, it's if you're like, you know, you're not going to buy into Game Pass or PlayStation Plus or whatever.
Yeah, I would
like,
buy
it
them.
Is only $10.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you get on Switch, dude, it's awesome on Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would buy it on the Switch too.
I've been playing it on my handheld, the PC handheld. It's been great. It's a great handheld game. Like, because it's turn-based and like you can kind of just like, all right, I'll come back to it in a minute. Like you just, you know, power it down, put it in sleep mode, come back later. Good time. It's fun. I also played a couple space games. I'm gonna call them space games. Both pretty new. One that just hit Game Pass called Aphelion, which is the new game from Don't Nod. They are the people behind if you remember back on the 360, Remember Me. They also did Banishers last year, Jusant recently. So they're like B developers, I would say. They make like B tier games that are pretty decent. Aphelion is okay. You play as two astronauts that have been sent to this planet called Persephone. You're searching for a new place for Earth to colonize because we fucked up Earth. It seems like a lot of these space games is like we fucked up Earth.
There's a lot of like games where it's like, are you talking about a game or real life?
Yeah, that's true.
Pacopia, man. Pacopia.
Pacopia, same premise. Right?
Yeah.
It's like partially a platformer at points, and then when you play as the god, so like the lady, all of her stuff is like platforming and exploration, kind of terrain traversal. And then when you play as the guy, he has a busted oxygen tank, so he needs to like find new oxygen. So like he can't move very far, or like once he breaks the oxygen valve, like he needs to like find a new way to kind of like supplement his oxygen. So his is more puzzle based, where you're trying to figure out how to get to the next area. It's fine. It's on Game Pass. I think I gave it 3 out of 5 on True Achievements. I mean, if you have Game Pass, it's probably worth giving a go to. But I think it's one of Don't Nod's like lesser games. And the other space game is a Capcom game that I bought digitally. I'm playing Pragmata right now.
Yeah.
Oh.
That game is super cool.
So I tried the demo, and I remember there was like this weird mini game when you're trying to shoot people, where you're like doing like a puzzle, yes, like with buttons, and I was like, this is so neat.
Yeah.
So is that the game?
So it's a shooter, and all the enemies are robots or bots of some kind, and you need to hack them before, like, to basically reveal a weak spot. And so this girl Diana, she's a like little cyborg that's not infected with whatever's going on with these other bots, and she can hack them and open it up. So when you pull the trigger and you kind of target an enemy, as Jeff said, like a little mini game pops up. So you got to like draw a line through like certain points and then get to an end point. As you're going to progress through the game, there will be parts on that map that you can't just go over. Like it'll be blocked off, so you're going to have to go around and find the right path to get there. All while like enemies are attacking you. So you're dodging, trying to do this snake puzzle thing to open them up, to make them vulnerable to your bullets or your other attacks. And I think it's a really cool combat system.
It's neat. It's fucking neat, dude.
It's like a throwback game. It feels like a 360 PS3
game. I saw somebody say that, and they were like, it's this, and they were like, playing this made them realize what. Oh, it's funny on Blue Sky, like it feels like a 360 or that era type of game. Yeah. And they said it also made them realize that that's kind of what Metroid Prime 4 is as well. More with how people speak and interact in the game.
Oh yeah, the writing is this is not. I mean, there are bits like I think some people are gonna find Diana, who is the bot. They're gonna find her annoying as fuck because she's built like a 7 or 8 year old girl. Like she's very tiny, she like crawls on your back. And Hugh, the guy you play, he is kind of like this gruff dude And he's like basically playing as like her uncle in this scenario. It's the writing is weird. Like it's not like they're not going for The Last of Us or new God of War here. It's funny. It's goofy. It's a bit weird, just like B-tier 360 games.
Yeah. So I'm curious about it. But again, it's a Capcom game. I'm sure I could kind of get it on sale in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because
it sold, it's not sold super well, right?
Sold decently. Like, it's not blowing, like, it's not doing Resident Evil numbers, but seems Capcom is happy with what it's doing, and there's talk of a sequel at some point, so it's done well enough that they're feeling that. It's also, $60 isn't a budget price, but it's cheaper than 70, so we've released this really cool game and it's only $60 instead of 70 or 80 like some other people are doing. So I'm happy with that.
I was gonna say, and I don't, never reminded me because you mentioned the price. We've not met since Star Fox was reintroduced, right?
No. There's a new Star Fox game coming in.
Well, newish.
Well, what is this? The fifth remake of Star Fox 64?
Not a Star Fox versus. I as far as I could tell, it's the third, but it's somewhere between the fourth and fifth one, depending on how you count it.
Okay.
Because I think Zero is a kind of remaster of, like, it's a spiritual successor. And then 64 3DS exists. But again, Star Fox 64 itself, apparently, I've never played any Star Fox. Star Fox 64 itself is a remake of Star Fox 2.
Earl, you could have played all the way through Star Fox in the time we've been recording this.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. Probably why it's a $50 game. But you mentioned the price. I'm like, right, because that was also a thing that came out. It's like Nintendo's like, we're going to have our digital and physical games have like a $10 offset. And what that means is, who knows?
But does that mean that, so Star Fox, if you buy it physically, will be $60?
Yes. But a lot of stores are just matching the price because why wouldn't they?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they're not making as much margin-wise, but sure. Yeah, Star Fox out there. It's coming back. Jeff, did you play anything else?
Excuse me, I'm eating pizza. Yes, I did play something else. I played a lot of Tears of the Kingdom, but I will not bore you guys with my thoughts on that tonight. We'll save it for the next one.
All right. So movies, we've waited to talk about this one for about a month now. The Super Mario Galaxy movie has come out. I've seen it. Earl's seen it. I don't know if Tony got a chance to see it yet. And Jeff refuses to see it.
Jeff is that. I'm waiting. It comes on
digital next week.
Digital next week, which I when I will actually see it, but no matter what happens.
You'll watch it then. Yeah. Earl, what did you think of the Super Mario Galaxy movie?
It's fine. It is somehow even less shot, and it's just consistent in the first one.
Yeah.
Things happen, and they happen because this is what you do in a Mario game or something like that. I don't mm-hmm. know.
And it looks cool. Like a lot of it is like, this looks cool in like a 6-minute segment.
Yes.
We're not sure why it is in this movie, but it looks cool.
Yeah, like the part with the The part with the part I think about is the dinosaur park.
Yeah.
Where they turn into babies. It's like a scene. And then they're not babies anymore. And that was it.
Yep. Like they're running through, you know, Jurassic Park, or it's basically that level from Odyssey. And yeah, they're like, oh, we made them babies now, and that's cute, right? Like, look at this like fun little adventure that baby Mario and Luigi are going on, and while Yoshi tries to save them, it's like we're doing a short vignette of Yoshi's Island. Cute, right? And it is. It's like, it's visually appealing, it's kind of fun to watch, but it's like, why is this in the movie? It doesn't really advance anything that's going on. That's kind of how I felt about the whole movie. Is it's just like, I almost feel that if they took like a bunch of the cool set pieces they did and just released them on like YouTube or something,
yeah,
it would have been better serviced. Bowser doesn't have any, like, there's not a new song for Jack Black. Like, there's nothing akin to Peaches here. I don't know. It was fine. Like, I didn't hate it, but it was fine. It was like a C movie for me.
It's fun in a moment. You think about it, nothing makes sense. It's pretty. It's a very pretty movie.
Yeah.
A lot of people were happy with the big twist. So, yeah, it's one of the, the first one I enjoyed. This one's fine. And it's just like the mission returns.
Yep. I mean, the coolest thing that I thought in the movie is, was the Star Fox anime intro.
Yes, that was fun.
Yeah. But like, why is Star Fox in this movie?
Yeah. And again, he's only there for like 20 minutes, if that.
Yep. He's in it because he's cool, I guess. And galaxies, right? Like
same thing with Wart, who's there for a scene.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Stuff just shows up and happens. And so you can properly skip this one, Jeff.
I will. I definitely will.
Earl, where do you rate this?
I think I would probably put it like a C. Like, again, it's like based off the relative to what we've watched before. It's like, it's not offensive; it's inoffensive.
Right. You guys are realizing the Mario anime movies are bad.
But again, yes, I they are. I don't want to say bad, because I do think there's a value to them. I think they're entertaining.
They're like just like,
but they are like really kind of
they're brain candy. Stuff.
Yes, they are very much movies that if I did not see it in theaters, if the first time I saw it was at home by myself, it'd be like, oh, I would end up probably doing dishes or like sweeping, because you don't miss anything,
right?
And in theaters, you get people like reacting and, you know, going crazy for stuff happening. So you kind of work with that.
I'll be interested to see what Tony says when he finally sees it.
Yes, I'm also curious what your kids think, because even some of this, I think even some kids are like kind of over it, because I think this, you could have too much sugar.
Oh, I couldn't even get my kids out to the theater to see it. Like, now we're not interested. So, I don't know if Jeff's been talking to them. Maybe that's happening.
And Jeff's been like, don't go see that. It's bad. Another video game movie came out
last week,
which I don't think Tony has seen either. I've not seen, but Earl and Jeff, you've seen Mortal Kombat 2.
Imagine that.
The new Mortal Kombat 2. not old Mortal Kombat 2. Well,
to be fair, it was not Mortal Kombat 2. It was Mortal Kombat Annihilation, but yes.
Feel your animality, guys.
Yeah, so this is more of a Mortal Kombat. This is more of Mortal Kombat 1 again, because it deals with the plot of the first game, which is the tournament. If Outworld wins, they will take over Earthrealm. So this movie is mostly the tournament. I will say up front, I am so happy they did away with that stupid subplot about, like, I forget what it was called. It's like the dragon mark or the mark of the champion, which is essentially like you had, like, your birthmark was like the Mortal Kombat symbol on you. That meant that you were a champion.
Yes.
And if you kill somebody who had it, it could transfer over to you, which is the whole point of the first movie. There's not a reference. There's not a sight of it in this movie at all.
Yeah, I didn't remember that at all, and that was not referenced at all. So yeah,
they just were like, that was dumb. We're getting rid of it. It's great.
I
mean, again, that is pretty much a lot of this movie. It's like, oh, we did stuff in the first movie.
Let's not do that again.
Yeah, I will say, honestly speaking, if you watch this movie without seeing the first one, this very little you won't get.
Awesome. I can't remember the first one, so let's do it.
Like, they do a job. Like, there's certain stuff that, like, certain characters are in certain states at the start of this movie, but they kind of whitewash that away. And there's, like, I think there's, again, there are references to the movie in terms of, like, Kung Lao is dead, and he dies in the first movie. Kano is dead, and he dies in the first movie, and stuff like that. But they have a way to kind of, like, we're just going to introduce things in this movie, and it's in this movie. You don't have to really have paid attention to the first movie, and it works in that regard. I think it's very funny. I think Johnny Cage, Kano, spoilers, I guess, and Baraka are just fantastic comedic foils in this movie. There's some really gnarly fight scenes. It is extremely gory. Like, this is a movie that people were like, we like the games. We're just going to replicate the games for you. This is what you want, right? And I think that's what a lot of people wanted. And that's
even down to, like, the levels. Like,
yeah.
It's like literally levels from the games. Like, that, they fight in with the acid. Yeah. Like, that's from, like, Mortal Kombat 2. It's, like, crazy.
You get that. You get the one where, like, the spice protruding out of the ground.
Yeah.
There's environmental damage. The only thing they were missing was, like, that bone crunching effect when somebody does something. But yeah, I think it's a marked improvement over the first one. And I was reading the review. I just listened to a review from Kind of Funny, and they were like, "This is probably the best you can adapt Mortal Kombat to be."
Because that's my opinion. It's what it is. It's silly. Like,
yes.
It makes sense. Okay.
Like, yes. Could you get a great movie? Sure, but it may not be. It would not be Mortal Kombat.
Exactly. This is Mortal Kombat. That's how I feel about it. 100%.
And yeah, so it works. The one thing I think people pointed out, and I kind of agree with, the score is kind of whatever. And I don't even mean to use, like, the theme song, but I'm surprised you don't use tracks from the game. It has some really good, like, background tracks and stage tracks you could pick out. And I do think at the end, there's a lot going on, because I think there's, like, 3 or 4 different battles going on. And at one point, I just had to ask that because somebody's just walking up to somebody, and maybe that walk takes, like, 10 minutes to cover, like, 3 steps. Because everything else is going on, and this person's, like, showy walking. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't get the timing on this at all, but sure, you do you. But, again, some fantastic fight scenes. I think almost everybody gets a moment to shine. Almost everybody. There's certain characters who get shortchanged. And based off the box office, I don't know if there'll be a third one, but they do really, really, really set up a third movie.
I think there is. I think they already said they're going to make 3.
Yeah, they could say they're going to make a 3, but if it doesn't make money.
Well, and it's also, it's Warner Brothers, so.
Yeah.
Anything could happen.
Anything with Warner Brothers is suspect right now. Rating, Earl?
Well, I was going to say, does Jeff have anything to add?
My thing about the movie was I went with low expectations and I wanted to see a fun, like, popcorn movie, and that's what I got. And, I think the main thing that, like, really put over the top for me was, like, the humor. It's very funny.
Yeah.
And it has, like, really funny things to say. And everyone's giving Johnny Cage, props. But, like, I thought Kano was funny as shit as the sellsword. Like, so, yeah, like, I don't, it's dumb. And it's, there's nothing, like, amazing about it. But, like,
it's dumb in the right way.
It's fun. Yeah, it's fun. It's totally fun. And, like,
there's a difference between like, being really dumb good. Because you don't know you're being dumb because you're intense. Like the jokes, yeah, and like it's funny because you're laughing at what they're saying and what they're doing and like reactions and stuff like that. You're not laughing because it's cheesy. Now, this will be controversial. I'm biased because I do it. I think I would still put the first one over, like the original, because it is also like half an hour shorter. Where again, there's a lot of characters here who kind of come in and out of the movie.
It's weirdly like you. It's like, is it about Katana or is it about fucking
Johnny
Cage? I think that's a fair criticism of the movie. But like,
but
it was dumb fun to me. But yeah,
even on the bad guy side, because the big bad is what is his name? Big guy from Mortal Kombat 2. Emperor Khan.
Yeah.
Falcon. And then Shang Tsung's there. And then Quan Chi's there. But Quan Chi and Shang Tsung don't really do much there. They do, they're more plot devices than they are characters in this movie. Which is also very weird because at the end of the last one, it did seem like Shang Tsung would have been the big bad. But he's just kind of relegated to like a henchman status. And Quan Chi really just has a plot device aspect of being in this movie. But yeah, that would be my complaint is, and then again, they like I said, they try to wipe away a lot of the stuff in the first movie, and I do think it's a great scene, but I also think it's so disrespectful. but yeah, I think I would put it in like the A tier for me.
Cool.
Yeah. Like for me as like an actual like as a video game movie, I would put it in A. Like, I think it's really fun. It's very funny.
All right. So we got a pair of A's there. I will add mine next week after I see it. And Tony will let us know if he ends up catching it.
As a regular movie, it's like a C+. But like.
But it's a video game movie.
Video game movie.
Yeah.
See, this is always where I kind of falter. Because, like, for example, I gave it a 4 on Letterboxd. A 4 is, to me, it's fair. Because, I mean, it's up there with other movies that are, like, fantastic movies. But this knows exactly what it's going for.
And, I really do, it was like, this movie gets what it is, like, and it's just fun. And that's all it is. Like, it's kind of candy.
But to what Chris was just fine. It's like I always feel because I'm like, oh no, because like I think a 4 should be reserved for. But I'm like, no. This movie is a 4 in that it knows what it's going for and it's really good. It's not trying to be an Oscar movie. It is trying to be a summer blockbuster, and in that aspect, it's very refreshing. So I will say it's very weird. This has been watching this, and then I watched Punisher One Kill, and like having those like back to back like extremely gory. Volume things. It's like, oh, okay, maybe we are like doing a bit too much with like stuff here right now.
Oh, we're so back.
All right, what are we watching in June, Earl?
We were so good on actually avoiding it. let me pull up this. Apologies. What did we watch? Yes, Was it? No, it wasn't Alone in the Dark. It was. House of the Dead? No, Doom.
Blood Rain. Doom?
So next up is Silent Hill.
Okay. So Silent Hill is our next video game movie. We'll be watching that in June.
The new one or the original?
Oh, the original from 2000.
The original one.
So the new one, Return to Silent Hill?
Yes. I would.
I still want to see it. I still want to
argue. I would argue that the Silent Hill we're watching is the good Silent Hill.
Yeah, that's what I've been. I mean, I've seen this one. I've heard the second one isn't great, and I've heard really terrible one.
I don't hate the second one, nor did I. I don't think the new one is good, but I also didn't hate it. It's a bad movie though. But Silent Hill with Sean Bean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be watching that in June. But we'll be back in 2 weeks with some more video games and such. Jeff, say good night.
Good night.
Oh, that was deep.
I wasn't expecting that.
I'm serious. I didn't realize Jeff was so serious about goodnight.
Gotta switch it up sometimes, guys.
Yeah.
It's like Barry, the Barry White version.
Sorry, did you get a little wet there? When you...
I'm not going to lie. I mean, maybe a little.
Goodnight.
A little dribble.
Ooh.
Sultry that time.
I'm hanging up. This is getting weird.